Well, last week we talked to you, I started out this way. Most people fail inwardly before they ever fail outwardly. Or the opposite side would be, in order for you to succeed outwardly, you're going to have to first succeed inwardly. When I talk about inwardly, how many of you know that you're a three-part being? You are a spirit. You have a, which is made up of your what? Mind, will, and emotions. And you live in a body. You're a three-part being. Just like God is Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you are spirit, soul, and body. You're a three-part being. And when you got born again, what part of you got born again? Your spirit came alive unto God. We always would say, like, if people answer an altar call, we would say 10 souls got saved. But really, if you look at it most correctly, 10 people were born again. Their spirits came alive unto God. And what I'm telling you about, because we looked at last week, we left off on talking about strongholds, is I have found this with people and just how, because of my life and when I came into the kingdom of God, came from a backslidden state, the Lord really began to deal with me about my mind, my mindset, and how to change it. Because this is what I've watched over the years. People can get born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, but if they do nothing with their soul, if they do nothing with their body, then you will live as a defeated Christian. What happened to the children of Israel? Let's look at the children of Israel. Remember Numbers 13. We won't turn there. But remember, two groups. Let's look at the second group. They went in, and God told them to take the land. And they, remember, they walked around the walled cities. And what happened on the seventh day? They all fell down. And remember the giants, what happened? They defeated the giants, and they took the promised land. But I want you to know, the first group, they went in, and they came out of Egypt with silver and gold, and there was none sick, feeble among them. And so they got up to the walled city, they went to the spy out the land, and they came back, and they said, there's giants in those land. And we're nothing but what? Remember what they said about themselves? We are what? What's a grasshopper? It's a cool little bug, but it's still just a bug. I mean, these are cool little bugs. They can hop and fly. They are cool, and they feel cool on your hands, but they're bugs. What were they saying? Those giants are going to squish us like a bug. In other words, they had got delivered out of Egypt, but they didn't get Egypt out of them. They still had a slave mentality. They still had a, so they said about themselves, we're nothing but grasshoppers. Listen to me. Same God. Did God change in 40 years? He didn't. Same promises. Did God promise the first group as well as the second group they could have the promised land? Same promises. What did the walled cities change? They didn't get less, did they? They did not. Did the giants grow shorter? I don't think they did. What was the difference? What the second group believed about themselves. So I need you, God needs you, to look at yourself differently and to begin to change what you think about yourself. And begin to say about yourself what God says about you. So we left off on strongholds last time. And so I want to back up a little further. I want you to look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Because how many of you know the devil wants to mess with your mind? You have an enemy. Did you know you have an enemy? And what's that enemy coming to try to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. And where does he attack you? In your mind. Joyce Myers called it the battlefield of the mind. I believe that. In my book, I say your mind is a terrible thing to waste. Your mind is the pivotal part of you. Unless you understand, if you don't get your soul in line with your spirit, you're not going to ever shut your body up. If you align your soul, your mind, with your body, then you're going to fulfill the desires of your flesh. The part of you that's not born again. And so this is so critical. And so the Bible talks about a foothold. Let's look at this, Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, out of the Amplified version of the Bible. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. When angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury, your indignation last until the sun goes down. And every married couple said amen. Leave no such room or foothold. What is that foothold? Foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity. So, have you ever seen on TV, or maybe some of you have done this, they go a cliff, they climb up a cliff where it looks just like a straight thing. And if I was going to climb a cliff, I'd get in a helicopter. And I'd be more than a conqueror then. Hallelujah. But I don't know why these people. So what are they looking for on the way up? They're looking for toe holds and handholds. And somehow, amazingly, they can scale a cliff just by looking at toe holds and footholds. How many of you know there sometimes just not much there? But really, if you understand the scripture, that's all the devil needs in you. This is talking about forgiveness, but in any area of our life, all the devil's looking for is a foothold. He's looking for a handhold. He's looking for something to insert. And Jesus said it this way in John 14, 30, out of the Amplified. He said, for the prince, evil genius, ruler of this world is coming. So how many of you know you can't keep the devil from coming? Well, that's not good news. I know. It says, what does it say again? It says, for the prince, evil genius, ruler of this world, he's coming. So if you know something's coming, what should you do? Prepare. Get ready. And he has no claim on me. Let's in faith all say, the devil has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. Everybody say that. He has nothing in common. There's nothing in me that belongs to him. And he has no power over me. Let that be our truth. Let that be our truth. I know the devil's coming, but he hasn't any claim on me. He doesn't have anything in common. I have nothing in common with the devil. There's nothing in me that belongs to him. And therefore, he has no power over me. But if you and the devil and if I and the devil have things in common, then we can't say that last part. If we've given a toehold, a foothold, if we've let the sun go down on our wrath, if we've done this, if we've done that, yes, there's forgiveness, and yes, there's repentance, and yes, there's grace. But how many of you know it's better not to give the devil any footholds or toeholds into our life? Because a foothold will then develop into a stronghold. Now, this is the truth. Strongholds, we looked at last time, they are fortified places in your mind. They're not over cities. They're in your mind. They're in your imaginations. And a lot of times before we got born again, we had patterns of thinking, which caused patterns of talking, which caused patterns of doing. How many of you know I believe in laying on of hands? Y'all, if you hang out here any amount of time, you'll know that we believe in laying on of hands. And how many of you know I believe in the anointing? And what does the anointing do? According to Isaiah 10:27, it destroys. Everybody say destroys. What does it destroy? The yoke of bondage. So I believe somebody can even be mentally bound and the anointing can destroy that. But on the other hand, the Bible said, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you'll be free indeed. So the word of God has got to get, even if someone is delivered instantaneously, in order to keep their freedom, to keep the devil's footholds and toeholds out, and to get rid of strongholds, there's something that must be done. And so the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, and 5, it talks about, let's just skip straight to 5, casting down imaginations. Remember we got here last week. What do you got to do with things that are contrary to the knowledge of God? Bring into captivity. So how many of you know when you take something captive, there's some effort involved on your part? How many of you know there's always a God side and a man side? But when it comes to a stronghold, a pattern of thinking, a fortified place in someone. Now listen, I said this first service, and I don't know how it's going to come out again, but I want you all to understand something. When someone gets born again, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they receive all that God has for them, I mean, their spirit is alive unto God. But a lot of believers don't know then or don't hear that you've got to do something with your soul. You've got to do something with your mind. Because if we don't do something with our mind, if we don't get it renewed, Romans 12 and 2, if we don't transform it from a tadpole to a frog, from a caterpillar to a butterfly, that metamorphosis, if we don't go through that, then we're going to be born again, but we're going to be living and acting like the world. And we're going to be defeated. You don't want to be, you're in this room today, you don't want to be defeated, do you? You want to have victory in everything? then it's a real serious and a lifelong determination that I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to change my pattern of thinking. The only one who can change your pattern of thinking is when God said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. So how do you know? Then that means we got to get the thoughts of God into this. We've got to start thinking godly thoughts. And we do that through renewing of our mind, through taking the word of God. And when the Bible talks about strongholds, it says you got to take every thought captive. So listen, when someone gets born again, everyone is at a different place in life or a different life experience when they get born again. You've got those who are addicted to things. I mean, you know, addictions are not just in the flesh, they're also in the mind. When someone's addicted to something, they can be addicted outwardly, and you know about it, but really it began in their soul. And then there's people who maybe have, you know, how do you know everybody needs a Savior? You cannot be moral enough to go to heaven. You cannot be good enough to go to heaven. You need a Savior. But there are some people, though, that through their life, through their upbringing, through their good fortune, they really don't have a whole lot of mess in their soul. But so you've got somebody like that who, when they get born again, it just seems easier for them. But I'll tell you the truth, there are those who get born again filled with the Holy Ghost, they've got a whole lot of retraining to do. And those of you who have never had a problem in your soul, don't judge someone who has. Listen, have you ever heard people say, well, I don't mean to judge, but what are they fixing to do? Judge. Now, I'm not here to judge anybody, but what are they about to do? Judge. Anytime you have to announce you're not going to judge someone, you're about to judge someone. And so that's not what we're supposed to do. You should have some empathy, compassion, and figure out how to help someone whose soul is a little maybe more messed up than yours. And then for us to look at someone and just kind of discount, you don't know what's going on in everybody's head. Aren't you glad we all don't know what's going on in yours? Aren't you glad it's not transparent? Like a little ticker going across here. Thank the Lord Jesus. Because remember, every thought you think is not your own. But you got to take them captive. You got to learn, how do you take them captive and bring them into obedience? It's like a forceful thing. And unfortunately, a husband can't do it for a wife. A wife can't do it for a husband. You can't do it for a teenager. You can't do it for a coworker. You can't do it for mama. Can't do it for daddy. Everybody's got to take their own thoughts captive. Everybody's got to take their own thoughts captive. And we get all this input. This has never been an age like ours where there's so much stimulation from input. And when those thoughts come, I don't know about you, but I can be 10, 15 minutes into something. I'm like, how in the world did I get here? What you got to do? You got to learn to take them captive. How do you take them captive? Open your mouth and say the word of God and displace. The law of displacement is something you need to understand. The law of life in Christ Jesus displaces the law of sin and death. You take something and displace it. You don't get frustrated. You don't quit. You don't give up. You just keep after it. You just keep after it. You just keep after it. And thank God that you and I can learn how to take every thought captive. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. I want to show you real quickly here about how important the soul, the mind, is and what we do with it. So let's look at Romans 8, verses 4 through 8 in the Amplified. Romans 8, 4 through 8. So that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us who live and move in, not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. So here, 4 through 8, you're going to see the Lord comparing walking in the flesh versus walking in the Spirit. And which way our mind goes. The ways of the flesh, but the ways of the Spirit. Our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. So we have two standards. You're either controlled by the Holy Spirit or you're controlled by your flesh. Nothing in the middle. Either controlled by the Holy Spirit or controlled by your flesh. Verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh are controlled by its unholy desires. Well, Pastor Mark, I'm born again, so my flesh doesn't have any unholy desires. Who are you kidding? Everybody's flesh, born again, not born again, has unholy. Come on, what's the big thing? Now, don't just go one direction with this, but I was born that way. That's who I am. You can go one way with that, but people use that to say, my personality is just that way. I was born that way. I have a long line of Irish folk. Poor Irish people. They're always accused of being ornery. My mama said it like it is, and I say it like it is. I got that by inheritance. Well, you need to cut that inheritance. See, I say it like this now, because if someone would say anything about, I was just born that way, yeah, but you're not born again that way. So they can have that one. Say, well, I was born that way. Because see, in the flesh, there are different people. Some of you don't understand this. I've been ministering and pastoring to people for a long time now. And different people's flesh have different desires. And if your flesh did never want that, you judge sometimes and think, well, you just need to quit that. But if you've never experienced that, don't be judging folk. The truth of the matter is this, though, once you're born again, you have the ability not to do that no more. And to make an excuse of, well, that's just who I am. No, that's the old you. That's supposed to be dead. Don't resurrect it. Come on, put a gravestone on it and don't visit it anymore. Those who walk according to the flesh are controlled by its unholy desires and set their mind and pursue those things. So my flesh has got unholy desires. If I set my mind on my flesh, then it's going to gratify it. I'm going to do it. But those who are according to the Spirit, everybody say, that's me. And are controlled, come on, say, everybody, come on, I'm helping you out. Everybody say, that's me. Those that are controlled by the Spirit are controlled by the desires of the Spirit. Set their minds and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. So it's where you set your mind. So your mind is in the middle of you. You can choose to set it on spiritual things and go after God, or you can set, because you got this loud body over here, this flesh screaming, I want apple pie. I want this. I want that. Whatever you set, can you see how pivotal the mind is? Whatever you set your mind on, either one way, everybody in this room, everybody watching, everybody understands this. You got your mind in the middle, and what you set it on, your flesh or your spirit, determines which way you go. Okay? Verse 6. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Let's just stop there. So this mind, that if I'm gratifying my flesh, if I got it set on the flesh, it'll always lead to death because it'll always lead to sin. And the end of sin is always death of some sort. Not spiritual death, not separation from God. This is written to Christians. So someone can be born again and live like the devil. Can you believe that? So I just don't believe that, Pastor Mark. Yeah, somebody can be born again. And if they never get their soul saved, if they never get their mind renewed, they will live and act like the devil. Well, how can that be true? Well, the Apostle Paul said, I got to keep my body under, lest when I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. The Apostle Paul. This is a big deal. Oh, there's a good book. You should get it in the bookstore. It's called No Longer Shackled. I wrote it. I need to read it. I read it regularly. I got something going on. The Lord said, I had you write a good book. Get it. And you don't even need to have a brown paper bag. Some people don't buy my book because they think they need a brown paper bag for it. It's like, I don't want to think I'm shackled. So I'm going to start selling them in brown paper bags. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit, is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and peace. So when I have the mind of the Spirit, then it also produces life and peace. If I have the mind that goes to the flesh, then it produces death. And there's always fear in death. Verse 7. This is because the mind of the flesh with its carnal thoughts and purposes is, oh man, hostile. Can someone who's born again, their mind be hostile to God? Yes. Again, written to Christians. hostile to God, for it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. I tell people this all the time. That's why the controversy in our nation right now. Listen, folks, you can't make people who are not born again live right. No amount of laws, rules, and regulations will do it. Born again people have enough trouble on their own. Why are we so darn judgmental? And I said darn. They can't live it. If they're not, they have a divine, their nature is fallen. It wasn't until you and I got born again that we got a new nature and even had the possibility to do this. Even had a possibility. I remember when I was backslidden and I started off at college. I was going to get my accounting degree. I had begun to get liberal in my thinking. I was born again at the age of 12, backslid from the ages of 16 to about 22. But those 18 to 22 years, I became so liberal in my thinking. I was born again at 12, but I began to believe there were many ways unto God. How dare a Christian think that they were the only way to God? Because my professors, I was getting this big old mind, you know? I mean, I still believe, even though I was backslidden away from God, I'm not going to do this once saved, always thing debate. I'm just get saved and don't mess. And you'll never have to figure it out. But I'm just telling you, I was away from God and my mind began to really side in with my flesh in a way that changed my whole nature of thinking and acting. But it wasn't until I had an encounter with God and my nature, this born again side of me, came alive unto God. And then immediately, without anybody telling me, I began to dig into the Word of God and wash my mind with this. And the thoughts just started falling off. And now the other thoughts that I used to think were like, well, that shit was stupid. That's just not even right. Because my thoughts became his thoughts, and his thoughts became my thoughts. And guess what? I still got to do it today. I just know when Pastor Mark get too busy, and he didn't have time for this, I know trouble's coming. And I'm no different than you. Coming to church on Sunday morning is not enough. You have to get into the Word. You have to use the Word. You have to wash your mind with it. Let's move on. It's because the mind of flesh with carnal thoughts and purposes is hostile to God. It does not submit itself to God's law. It can't. Verse 8. So then those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. But I just wanted you to see the mind is so pivotal. The mind left unrenewed, the mind left not transformed, the mind that's not washed by the Word of God is just trouble waiting to happen. 1 Peter 1:13, the King James says this, it says, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, how do you gird up the loins of your mind? Just so some other scripture, it says this in the Amplified, it says, brace up your mind, brace up your mind. New Living Translation says, so prepare your mind for action. The NIV says, with minds that are alert and fully sober. It says here, therefore, with the minds that, it says, go back to King James, and it talks about how you gird up. So that to me, when I got to gird something up, it means I got to put something on it. When I got to gird it up, that means there's some effort here. I'm going to take something with my mind, and I'm going to put the Word of God on it. And then it says, and hope to the end for the grace. And when I look at words of grace now, recognize this is that standing grace, because the devil's trying to destroy me and he's attacking my mind. But if I'll gird up the loins of my mind, also grace is right there to meet the adversary when he comes. The power man. Because remember the Apostle Paul, he's like, Lord, this devil is attacking me. And the Apostle Paul, he had some thought problems. You may not have think this about him, but I know that he waged a warfare in his mind. How many now you're trying to get people born again, and how many you know he stood there and approved as they stoned Stephen? How many people did he put in prison? How many people did he sign the order for them to be killed? They were so afraid of him that as he was coming, remember, Ananias said, when the Lord told him to go over to Straight Street, he's like, I heard of him, and I don't think this is wise. So he put people in prison, and he had him killed. How many know that probably tormented him? Now he's trying to reach people that family members, he may have even had them killed. I believe the man was tormented. And then there was a devil that came especially to torment him. But what did the Lord say? My grace is sufficient for you. Same thing here. So gird up the loins of your mind, and that grace will come to resist what the devil is trying to do in your mind. Are you with me? Amen. So what do we got to do? Well, I want to tell you real quick, you got to save your soul. Well, Pastor Mark, I am saved. Well, your spirit's born again. So you're saved, you're going to heaven. But if you don't get your soul saved, your body's going to win. If you don't get your soul saved, then your body with its cravings, I don't care how good you are, I don't care how strong you think, I'm talking about God power, not willpower. Come on, I'm talking about God power, not willpower. Because willpower will eventually give up. But God power never gives in. Amen. Romans talked about how in setting, it's talking about the same power that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal flesh. The more power of God you can get in your life. We use that for healing, but really in context, it's having to put your flesh under control. Am I the only one that has to keep their flesh under control? Now, don't you imagine, what does pastor do? What is that? No, every one of them. I'm married. Hallelujah. I have child. I have people that work for me. I encounter stuff just like you do. I drive in traffic. You understand? Everybody has stuff. And everybody has to learn to keep their body under. Everybody. And if we don't, and how do we do it? The mind is the pivotal thing. The soul. And so Psalms 23:3 talks about how he saves my soul. He restoreth my soul. I just want you to understand, God wants to restore your mind, your will, and your emotions. I told this story first service. It's just because it's talking about my dad. When I was 16 years old, I got my first car. And I think my dad was trying to cool me up and really didn't say anything about it. Because this nerd needed a little cool, you know, needed a little cool in him. And so he bought me a 72 Dodge Charger. Well, he helped me get it. And I didn't realize how cool that car was when I got it. But now I watch those shows where they go get old cars. I don't know how my first car has now become an old car. And they're getting them out of the junk piles and they're restoring. What is restore? They take what was once a very cool muscle. I didn't realize what kind of a car I had. I didn't realize why the girls wanted to ride with me after I got it. I didn't understand. He was trying to help me out and I just couldn't figure it out. Anyway, and but now what do? They restore them. They take them from a junk pile, and your mind, before you got born again, no matter who you are, was on the junk heap. And you, even after you're born again, you've got to then take your mind and transform it, let it go through metamorpho. We've all frog, like a caterpillar to a butterfly. That's that word, transform, metamorpho. We've all got to do it. Why? Because we got to take our mind off of the junk heap and get it transformed. What are we transforming it back to? Well, just to skip ahead, I like what 1 Corinthians 2:16 says. It says, you have the mind of Christ. Now listen, I know people teach this differently, but this is what I believe from the Word of God. I don't believe you earn the mind of Christ. I believe you have the mind of Christ. There's a difference between renewal and what you have, but this is important in your renewal. You have to have confidence in the fact that I have the mind of Christ. Who's known the mind of the Lord that they may instruct him? But we have. But I have. And you have. Everybody say, I have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? I have the ability to think the thoughts of God. I have the ability to comprehend the Word of God. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. So you go from that place where you have it, and then you also begin to transform your mind. How do you do it? James 1:21 says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Wherefore, what do we got to do? We got to lay aside what? All filthiness. Ooh, get rid of it. Amen. If it's not godly, it's filthy. And superfluity of naughtiness. And receive. Everybody say receive. Receive is different than read. It's good to read, but you need to receive. It's good to read. It's good to hear, but you got to receive. What do I do with receive? I take it with meekness, the engrafted word. In other words, the word of God then gets in my mind, and if there's this grafting going on, it's like a computer, and it's like a rewiring happening up in there. And that rewiring is it going on as the word of God is engrafted, it does what? Which is able to save your soul. Listen to me, somebody in this room needs to understand this. You can have a child, a grown adult child, that maybe that you were brought up in church and now they're acting all crazy. Well, yes, you keep praying for them. And yes, we believe in the anointing. But if you could do anything, I would just be sending them the word, giving them scripture, doing things to get their mindset differently, because what has to happen? They have to lay apart filthiness. They have to lay apart naughtiness. And they have to receive the word of God again. It's not what they heard 10 years ago. It's what they're hearing now. So you can't go somewhere for 4 years and never hear the word of God and expect to be the same person than when you went. This is very serious. People, you know, high school graduates, when they go, when people go away, there's an atmosphere, no matter what the college is, even a Christian campus. I'm just telling you, the enemy is after a mind because he needs to change it, even if someone's born again, so he can get them to side in with their flesh and everything they're hearing. But you and I are going to stand against those things as we engraft the word of God into us. It changes our mindset. It changes the way we think, and it sets our minds on spiritual things so that we can receive life and peace. Why does the devil keep tormenting? Why does he keep bombarding? Why does he sin? You know, I tell people this. Maybe if you were an alcoholic and you were delivered. Thank God, people have been delivered off of that. No desire anymore. And then suddenly an old buddy shows up with a six-pack of Bud. Some of you don't know what that. Coors. Miller. How do you know all those? Never mind. And so that person is not sent from God to see how you're doing. That's not a test. That's a temptation. And it comes from the devil. And he's come to change your mind. One won't hurt. One look won't hurt. My wife, when talking to guys, she'll say, well, when you looked at her, who's not your wife, the first time, maybe you couldn't help that look. But you can help the second and the third one. Being where you're supposed to be. I was meditating on this. King David. Bathsheba. I don't know if this has anything to do with anything except it's in my heart. He was not where he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be at war. But you see what happens when the first glance turns into a second, and then, nobody will know, and then a cover-up, and then a mess. Listen, I know none of us in this room are perfect, and there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but everybody, listen, let's get on top. We've never lived in a time where this message is more important than getting a hold of your mind, getting a hold of your soul. It's the gateway. It's the gateway to whether you walk in victory or defeat. It is. God, if I were to ask you, how did God change a generation? Going back to the children of Israel, the moms and dads said were grasshoppers. They couldn't enter in because of their unbelief and because of how they saw themselves. So God said, I have to change a generation. What did he do? He told the leader to meditate and to teach them to meditate day and night so that they would have good success. He had to change them inwardly before he could call them giant killers. He had to change them inwardly before they could go knock down a wall with a shout. He changed their meditation. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. You're meditating on something. I'm meditating on something. I don't know if it happens to you. I'll be thinking about something, and I really will. 10 minutes in, I'll be like, what in the world? How do we get here? Some of you may not have that. But no matter what it is, when you catch it, you got to take the word of God and take those thoughts captive. Amen? Amen. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So he's telling us, measure your thought life by this scripture. Measure your thought life by this scripture. Is this true? What's true? The word of God. Is this honest? Is this just? Is this pure? Is this lovely? Is this of a good report? Is there any virtue in this? Is there any praise? Then that's what I'm going to think on. And I'm not going to think on anything else. If you've let your mind go crazy for years, or your mind's been on vacation from the Word of God, then it's time to call it home. Amen. It's time to get it shaped up for a fight. And this is amazing. Your mind, you have the mind of Christ, and you can begin to think God's thoughts. And then as you think God's thoughts, you'll say God's words. And as you say God's words, then those words will be able to be formed because they're seeds. And when you speak them out, then what's going to happen? Whatever things you're saying, they'll come to you. Your mind is very important, your soul. I don't have time to get in your will and your emotion today, but also God cares about your soul. You got to make your will His will. And guess what? Your emotions, He can heal them. The Bible says He's the healer of a broken heart. So that soul realm of yours, He wants to restore it to the great place. Amen. He wants you to be whole because He wants you to be able to follow Him. Amen. Every head bowed just for a moment. If there's anybody in this room, you've never received Jesus as Savior, you've never made Him the Lord of your life, or you've walked away from God, you've been practicing sin, and you're really ready to come home, just no one looking around right now. If that's you, if you've never received Jesus, Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross for your sin. He was raised on the third day. He loves you. If you've never received Him, the Spirit of God is dealing with you. I want you to know that He's waiting for you. If you've been away from God practicing sin and you're in this room today and you need to come home to the Lord, then I want to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to pray for you. If that's you on either count, if you'll just lift your hand for me so I can see who I'm praying for. So I can see who I'm praying for. Amen. If you lifted your hand, you can go ahead and put it down. Let's all stand. If you lifted your hand or should have lifted your hand, right after the service is over, somebody's going to be back at the prayer room right behind the sound booth. There's some information that I want you to have, and they're going to pray for you more thoroughly. But I want everybody here just to help those that lifted their hand or those watching. I just want you to lift one hand to heaven and say this. Say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that He was raised from the dead, and I receive Him as my Savior. I make Him the Lord of my life. Jesus, I love You and I honor You and I receive You as my Savior. Now, if you are away from God and you once, you know, walked with God, but now you've walked away, then you lift up, everybody here in the room will help you. Let's lift up one hand to heaven and say, Father God, I ask You to forgive me of the sins that I've been practicing. I believe the blood of Jesus washes me clean. I repent of those sins, and I ask You to forgive me. And I believe that Your blood cleanses me right now. Father, thank You for receiving me. And I know that my sins are washed away. in Jesus' name.